I know they are, just because this is the fucking world we live in, when like hating on United and criticizing them and bringing stories for the editor is just the number one priority, isn't it? This is, I just want to give credit to Amorim for making the bold decision that Ten Hag never made before him.
We here!
Yes, sir!
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to episode 74 of the 6 Yard Box podcast, where Ruben Amorim has made his statement as Manchester United manager. We now know for sure where the World Cup will be in 2030 and 2034, and we're back with a couple of remote pods to finish off 2024. Lads, I'm here joined by Blake and Antoine. A little further distance between us this time around, but boys, I'll start with you, Blake. How are you doing?
Good. Doing good. It was an interesting week of football. It was an interesting week. It was. It was interesting. Like a lot of stuff happened.
It was interesting. I feel like a lot happened. There's a lot to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine, how are you?
I was doing good up until that opening statement. I don't know what. Amorim has made a statement.
What are you talking about?
So
has he not made a statement?
Like I feel like you're just capitalizing off of a poor Man City.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, look at you guys moving the goalposts already.
Goalposts? No, the goalposts were wide because they made it wide because they haven't won it. Like, well, they won against Forest. But other than that, they hadn't won in 11 games or 10 games.
We haven't won away against a top six side in like 15 attempts. No United manager has won their first match against City since Sir Alex Ferguson, bro. Dude, that's like seven managers.
I just feel like you're trying to push a propaganda towards me right now, and it's like I'm not having it.
Listen, lad, I know Man City are in the place that they are. I know that we're gonna be on here criticizing them a lot, but let's not fucking take away from United, okay? Going to City, and for the first time in who knows how long, actually deserving to win against Man City at the Etihad. Let's not forget.
All right,
what are you doing?
Which way does it make 13?
What are you?
Because that's a place here, right?
What a
world mover that result was for you. All I'm saying is I had a friend come to me and talk about a title charge, and I thought he was joking, but then he doubled down, and he still might have been joking, but it really, really stressed me out.
The title charge is ridiculous. No, I completely agree with that. Like, the title charge is fucking ridiculous. We're not gonna win the title, obviously. I don't even think we're gonna make top four, not top five either. There are a multitude of teams still better than us in the Premier League, but bro, Amorim has come in. He's already changed the way that we played. He's making some big fucking calls that are paying off, and he's actually getting behind what the fans have wanted for all these years that no manager seemingly has understood to do. So don't blame me for being happy here.
No, yeah. Okay. When you put it like that, sure, but you still feel like you're still capitalizing off of a poor Man City.
Like, you can still also, a very real possibility is you just go to whoever you're playing next week.
Oh, 100% I agree. Like,
but then you're going to be like, oh, you know what? Amorim's still the best. It's fine. Like, it's like there's no in between. Like, you
know, like, either... we mustn't forget that there are still a lot of players. We mustn't forget there's a lot of players in this team that probably shouldn't be here come next August, right? Mm. Like, we are going to lose a lot of games to end off this season. It's inevitable. And I don't think there's a manager on planet Earth that could remedy that enough where we could actually legit make a top four charge and definitely not a title charge. I don't know what your delusional ass friend is saying, Blake. But let's be honest with ourselves. Let's fucking look at it how it is. Let's be honest about the situation. And let's just acknowledge that there is already, only weeks after Amorim has come in, significant progress being made and significant good signs that better things to come for United.
Yeah. Still 13th, but this.
Yeah, like, sure. Sure.
Are we still 13th or are we up to 12th?
No, you're 13th, bud.
Okay. Lovely. Lovely.
You're
tied on points? No, you're not tied on points. No, yeah, you're 13. Yeah.
How many points off top four are we?
Like six, but that's...
See, it's a close league.
Yeah, but seven other teams are also six points.
I know, we're
off.
Not going to get top four. I know.
So why'd you ask about it?
No, I'm just curious. I just want to make the point that it's a tight little league we got going here. Anyways.
Okay.
Can we shit on your team instead here, Blake?
Well, you're just gonna go back to the city game anyway.
So
on topic.
All right, let's stay on topic. Let's go straight to the derby, boys, shall we? How was your experience watching the game? How ready were you to shit on United, and how happy are you with City having one win in 11?
Are you asking? Because I wanted United to win. Like, City are still direct rivals to our title.
I agree.
Well, title charge didn't really happen anymore, but I mean, they still are technically like rivals to our title charge for, So I wanted United to win. So obviously, when you guys went down, it was not the best feeling, but I mean, you deserve to win. Simple as. You really did.
Coming into this game, it was one of the first times where I didn't think City would batter you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Because 100%. Obviously, their late form is atrocious. But under a new manager, I thought you guys could pull a job, and you did, which I don't want to say it surprised me, honestly.
Yeah. Man, Ruben Amorim just has Pep's number in the last like month or so. Again, the performance from us like wasn't as good as he did with Sporting, which is as to be expected. But that only makes me even more excited on, you know, give it like a year or two with this system and watch what he could do with a better set of players.
His aggregate score against Pep is 6-2. This is pretty good.
I just
can't wait. If this goes awry and Amorim gets under the hot seat, we need to clip all of these things that he said, because it's just so similar to what I heard before.
Blake, like,
it's just so similar.
You could go back to our clips in first year, and you could look at what I was saying about Ten Hag, and you'll find even worse shit. You'll find I listened back to some of those episodes, and the confidence I had.
You have a YouTube video titled "He Will Save United."
Yeah. Bro. Man.
But he was with a good Ajax team, just like Emery was with a good Sportax. What? Sporting team? So you never know. No, I'm kidding. It was a good performance. I'm not taking anything away from it. Fantastic. Ahmed had a game. A very good game. A fantastic game, some would say.
I've been telling you guys about Ahmed, bro. Remember we did what's that fucking game called that we did the TikTok for, Blake, at your place?
I don't know, the circle one.
One where I said he was super underrated. You think he's that underrated? Yes, I did. And I'll be proven right.
Valid.
He's fucking
he's incredible. He's one of the few players that constantly just put in the shift, press when you don't have the ball. When you do have the ball, always.
That's what I'm saying too, bro. The level of effort.
Like that. I think Amorim especially likes him, because those are the type of players that no matter what period the club is in, no matter what part of the rebuild the team is in, that's the type of players that always continue and push you through it. And ultimately be there for you in the bad times and then the good times too.
Absolutely. Bro,
you know,
I was
very well, Julian. That I was very, very excited to see.
Oh.
My boy Ugarte, dude.
Yes. Oh my God. I had my doubts in the first few weeks of Ugarte, but then he settled down at the club, and I think it culminated in yesterday's performance where wow. Like, holy shit. He was our best midfielder yesterday over Bruno, over Mainu, who had a bit of a dodgy one, over Mount, which isn't saying much. But yeah, he looked fantastic. Like, even like him, like taking the ball down and then that little back heel flick to Martinez to set up the second goal. Like, wow.
No, I was saying his press resistance is That's so impressive.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was the main thing I was worried for, bro. That was the main thing coming into
one of the most intimidated teams up against.
When I knew he was coming to United, like that was the main factor. I was like, I don't know how he would be on the ball with like the pace of the Premier League, but give it a few weeks and man, he's made it work, isn't it? He looks spectacular. And then he got I think he got the assist for our first goal against Forest too. He's had a great couple of weeks, and any of my doubts about him are now gone.
Kills me to see that, but happy for him.
Yeah. Bargain. No, I'm kidding. Someone who's definitely not a bargain is Mason Mount, who went off injured again after 20 minutes. And Amorim seems so excited to get started with Mason Mount, but he just looks like another Luke Shaw, where like availability is the best ability, and because he just can't be available, it's like, do we stick with that experiment? Like, can we carry him and three other guys who are just perennially injured? So yeah, I was excited for Mason Mount with Amorim, but I don't know if I'll work anymore. And then we had Mainoo come in for him, and Mainoo doesn't really seem to like he doesn't seem natural in that double pivot role.
Yeah, I reckon he needs to play in a three, to be honest. I'm sure he can adjust, but off of first looks, a three might be well suited to him.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely like give it the adjustment time for sure. Before, like he was pretty much playing in a pivot last year too, just alongside Casemiro with Bruno higher up.
Well, that's what I mean, the three, right? Like a three-man midfield.
Yeah. But still with like a midfield partner next to him as like a destroyer. Maybe just give it time, you know? Like Mainoo he set the world fucking alight last year coming in for like his Premier League debut, fucking making his first start at Anfield and scoring winners in like his third appearance. I think he set the bar so high, right? So I think he'll come good still, but this is like the reality, really, I think. Anyone else? De Ligt, I thought was really good. Maguire, I thought was really good.
Oh my god, watch.
I'm telling you,
what happened? You win one game and you're like, let's just go through a whole team. Everyone was fantastic. Life is good.
No. I'm cautiously optimistic about United because, like, let's not forget that a week ago we lost away, or no, we lost at home to Forest through some dumb mistakes. And it's not even like we played bad in that game, but it was just individual errors fucking costing us. Oh no. but the way that we're playing when you take it as the entire game and you kind of look at the performance more than the individual errors that led to the goal and the scoreline, then the last few weeks have been really positive for United. Really positive. So I'm cautiously optimistic again about Maguire. I don't know how much I want to trust him. I really don't. But to be fair, why did we think so highly of Maguire when he became the most expensive defender in the world? It's because he excelled in a back three system with England and made his name that way. I can't remember how he played with Leicester too, but in a back three system where he has two other partners that could, you know, cover up for his like mistakes or like inefficiencies with his game, I think he absolutely cooks. And as like a middle center back there, he handled Haaland, dude. He fucking handled Haaland. That's crazy.
Hasn't been hard to do the last.
Mate, it's Erling Haaland. Give us a little bit of credit here.
No, because if Arsenal went and beat City right now, they would be saying the exact same thing.
Oh my God, I gave you guys so much credit when you fucking shut down Haaland in that game, bro.
What do you mean? What game? What are you even talking about? He scored against
when you drew with City, he scored. Still, I thought Gabriel and Saliba did really well in containing him.
Yeah, but that was when they
I don't remember.
Terrible.
How did he score again? How did he score again?
He like got thrown a breakaway and just like towed it in.
I don't remember that. I don't remember.
It was like
that
early was on in the game.
Oh, shit. Well, never mind. Oh, yeah. No, you didn't do a good. No, he kind of muscled you. Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
I'm just being a hater.
You're right about that three-back thing, because every time Maguire is brought up in the media, it's for, you know, his mistakes. But in all the international breaks and when it's the Euros or when it's the World Cup, he always seems to shine, which is in a three-back system. And now that he's back in that three-back system, maybe he'll do a little better. He'll reap the rewards.
Yeah. There was another thing going on too, which I feel like we need to talk about. This is a little bit like conspiracy territory, but there were two things that coincidentally happened at the same time that I think is a little bit suspect. So the night before our game, Amorim had set his lineup or whatever, and it seemed like Rashford and Garnacho was going to be out the squad. Massive decision. And Amorim came out afterwards and said that it wasn't disciplinary, but I'm a little bit like, I don't know. At the same time, on Saturday night, actually nearly 24 hours before kickoff, our entire lineup gets leaked.
On what?
Through the chief correspondent of the Manchester Evening News, which...
On Twitter?
So Samuel Luckhurst, he's like chief correspondent for Man United with the Manchester Evening News. And he posted on Facebook, he's like, interesting this, I got a leaked lineup for the United team yesterday and then listed it. And it was dead on correct, which is crazy because our lineup wasn't something that Amorim's done before. He obviously doesn't have a set lineup anyways. So this was not some kind of guess or just shot in the dark that Luckhurst got from some C-tier source. This was someone close to the club that knew for sure what the lineup was going to be. And for one reason or another, to destabilize United, which is weird because they probably represent a party that represents United anyways, leaks the entire team the day before our biggest match of the season. And kudos to Amorim for sticking with the lineup anyways. But then the lineup for Man City came out and it looked so attacking because, you give the best manager in the world our lineup 24 hours before kickoff. And that's going to change the way that they set up.
I don't love that point. I think that their lineup is pretty similar to what they run, except they brought in Doku.
Also, I'm not sure that Pep is scrolling Facebook, dude.
I'm not scrolling Facebook. How do you think I know the lineup?
But also,
everywhere.
What lineup would you think they would have started instead?
Exactly.
If they didn't do that, maybe Nunez on the wing and. I don't know, Kovacic.
That hasn't been working for the past 7 games. Based on a specific lineup is what I'm trying to say. You don't prepare for a game based off of specific lineup. You prepare to face the team. You can't change your approach to the game based off of one player being different than what you thought in your projected lineups. You know what I mean?
It's not the projected player.
Lineup would be.
To the best football mind in the world, with a world-class coaching staff, there has to be something in your mind that tweaks or optimizes when you literally know a day before kickoff what the other manager is planning to do.
I don't think it's that much. I think it's a very limited amount of time. I don't think you make that many tweaks in a lineup just one day before the game. You prepare for a game throughout a whole week.
Okay. Well, can we agree? Can we agree that this isn't acceptable from a United point of view?
No, whoever leaked it isn't an idiot, dude. But
massive idiot. I don't know. I don't know who did it. I don't know how so many people know the lineup a day before the game, so much so that it can be leaked. But there's some kind of problem there, and I think the main two culprits or the main two suspects of that is the parties of Garnacho and Rashford. I think it's fucking ridiculous. But I think you have to look at those two as well. And it's like, lads, what are we doing here? The rumor is they were partying out after midnight sometime during the week in the lead
classic
up to
United
the City.
Player, by the way. Classic United player move.
Bro, and this is the thing. Rashford got disciplined for this exact same thing. If this is true. Rashford got disciplined for this exact same thing last season when he was out partying in Dublin the night before training and he had to call in sick. So, and Ten Hag dropped him for a game, brought him back. Apparently, it was it was swept under the rug. It was fine, but it's clearly not fine if this is going to be a habit of his. Again, if it is true. And Garnacho, again, I like the player. He's young. He has time to learn. It's not the same case as the 27-year-old Rashford with Garnacho. So, like, I'm not saying, you know, kick him out the squad or anything. But if I just look at him and I look at his little posse he has there, I'm not surprised that this kind of story is coming out about him. I'm just saying. Also, before the start of last season, I think Ten Hag had a little disciplinary thing with Garnacho as well. During preseason and stuff, he came in a little bit overweight. But these are just the characters in our squad. These are like the senior players in our squad that, you know, with 18-year-olds sharing a locker room with them, just cannot be setting that kind of example. And like, when you look at shit like that, it's like, no wonder we've been so shit for so many years if that's the culture that the senior players are setting.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree with you. Especially because Rashford used to be such a good player. Yeah. I feel like that makes it worse.
Anyways.
It's fell off the Harry party, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah.
But brave call by Emerim. I think he made a, like, if it backfired, if we lost the game against City, all the press would be, why didn't you start Rashford? Why, you know, this was a perfect game for
again,
Rashford.
Again, I don't so well. Think that at all.
I absolutely think that. I
bro,
absolutely
it was obviously disciplinary.
I absolutely think that.
No, we're
no
not
because
doing
he
this,
came
bro.
Out. He came
no,
out after the game
talk,
and said it was performance based, bro. Okay, go ahead.
Anyone
go
with
ahead,
a footballing
ahead.
Mind understands that he didn't drop these players because he thought that was the best fit for the team. He obviously dropped them for a reason outside of football or disciplinary. He wouldn't just, you'll just drop two random players like that, but I can put them on the bench. So no, there wouldn't be anyone being like there's clearly a bigger reason behind this that isn't just football related.
Of course, mate, of course. But with Amarim says publicly that this is not a disciplinary issue. We can speculate about if it is or not, but publicly, he's saying to the media and to the fans that this isn't a disciplinary thing. So then publicly, people are then, I guess, have the right or have the ability to then publicly criticize him for leaving Garnacho and Rashford out the squad on merits of performance. Even that the same journalist I was just talking about, Samuel Luckers, he puts out player ratings before every single game, and he rates the manager too. Guess the rating out of 10 he gave Amarim for what he did against City yesterday. You know, how he controlled the game, how he got the lineup perfectly. He took a bold decision in leaving two senior players out. He got rated a 6 out of 10, and his reason for giving Amarim a 6 out of 10 was that the Garnacho and Rashford would have been perfect for this game. And if that's the narrative we're spinning after beating City, then what would the narrative be if we lost that game? So that's why I give credit to Amarim. No, it's not. That's not our fault. That's fucking Rashford and Garnacho's fault for being fucking
dickheads. No, I mean your media. Why is your media so crazy? Just chill, bro.
Bro, I know they are. Just because this is the fucking world we live in, when like hating on United and criticizing them and bringing stories for the editor is just the number one priority, isn't it? I just want to give credit to Amarim for making the bold decision that Ten Hag never made before him.
Do you think that you guys deserve to win that game?
Absolutely.
I thought so too. Okay. Like it was evenish, but they had more attacking plaudits.
Man City, zero big chances throughout the game. I don't think they had a shot on target in the second half.
Yeah, there's a
50-50 possession.
0.95 XG for City, and you guys had 2.08. So,
okay. Yeah. Just making sure we're on the same page.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Need to talk about the players that did hand you over the score and the win in a way.
Yes, let's hate on City a little bit. I've missed that.
Yeah, this is what happened. This is what fucking happens when United win one goddamn game. We talk for 24 minutes about this stupid ass team. For fun's sake,
I think we've talked about Arsenal a little longer before.
No, never like this long.
Yes, never.
We've
but
definitely
do you
gone
why?
40
do you
minute
know
tangents
why?
About
oh,
Arsenal.
You want to know why? It's because you guys love it too. You guys joined in and you egg me on. I didn't do any.
And Arsenal wins. I feel like we've talked for a good amount of time, dude.
Arsenal wins. We used to literally go Arsenal won next. No, don't even give me that bullshit. Don't even give me that bullshit. No, bro. I'm not having.
Let's hate on City, please.
Oh, let's hate on City. Let's hate on Mateus Nunez, who I
let's hate on Kyle Walker.
Also, I want credit because I said this like 2 months ago, and Antoine, you kind of came at me and said, no, he's a decent player.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
Do you not remember this, Julian? I swear. I said,
yesterday, Antoine. I mean, not that you were defending Mateus Nunez, but you were like, no, he's not bad. He's just bland.
He's bland, dude. He's the definition of a bland, plain yogurt.
No, he's just shit. He's not even yogurt. He's like fucking like expired milk.
I still look at his game and see the potential in him. But yesterday it was just an awful.
To do what? He's terrible.
I'm not defending the guy. I don't think he's a great player at all. I don't think he fits in the Pep system. I don't think he's the guy that you need to replace the players that are missing for City right now. But I can see why Pep likes him, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
He fits Pep's ideal player very, very well.
That is valid.
Yeah, that mistake was, oh my God, that sequence, dude.
Oh my goodness, bro. Did you see Bernardo Silva after the game come out and say like, oh, we're playing
God,
like,
that was crazy.
Like schoolboys, like we can't be stupid
decisions. If you make stupid decisions like that, you don't deserve to play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, insane.
Oh, I love it. I fucking love it.
They're capitulating.
Yeah, Mateus Nunez, terrible. Kyle Walker, like, I need to make...
Oh,
I,
my God.
Listen, how? His performance wasn't terrible, but we need to roast the fuck out of him. Like,
The whole narrative about him cheating on and off the field is so funny.
Hey, he had it fucking coming, all right?
Yeah. Listen, that Hoyland post genuinely is the
oh
best...
Oh, my God, generational.
The best Instagram post
Dude, the banter from the United players, like next time we play City and if we lose, we are fucked. We are fucked because oh my God, they're going to hold a grudge here. And next time, if they beat us, we're going to fucking get it because it was Xerxes, riling up the fans. Bruno was riling up the fans. Ahmad, Garnacho, Rashford,
also so shameless.
Like Manchester
eh?
Is
so
red.
Shameless.
That Bruno celebration. How'd you feel about that Bruno celebration? I know you wanted to punch your TV.
That's the side of Bruno that you like. Oh no, are you talking about the shrug?
Yes, dude.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the 2-1 to
Vlad. You scored a pen. Why are we?
That's what I'm saying. So shameless. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like it's gonna bite you. Even I like Hoyland too, but all this shit on Instagram, he's gonna get 2-footed one day. Like, it's like you're not,
but you know what this means though? I like this because it kind of reignited the hatred between this derby.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It's been so respectful the last few years.
Thank you. It's been so high five.
Like John Stones and Maguire hugging in the tunnel.
Exactly.
Like, no, I don't want none of that shit. I want you to go out there and fucking two foot somebody.
Exactly.
So this is fantastic.
Hoyland's getting two footed. Like,
you know, the way he definitely enjoys this moment of life right now. Roy Keane.
Oh,
Roy freaking Keane.
Oh, yeah.
Corrine, dude. Yeah,
bro, he had a 10-minute halftime report of Kyle Walker's dive. It was so funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would.
Halftime. Like, Vardio's goal was cool, but it's fucking embarrassing. Bro, fantastic.
That was bad.
Fantastic.
Fair enough. It is embarrassing to be falling
it
like that.
It is embarrassing.
In a professional football game after being slightly touched.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, shouts for Kyle Walker to get a red card there. And
100%.
Because like, you had the tackle. No. Because you had a yellow card for... You could have had a yellow card for the tackle. Could have had a yellow card for the heads coming together. And then you have a yellow card for simulation. That's three potential yellow card offenses there. So we've seen players get two yellow cards in the space of 10 seconds. Why couldn't Kyle Walker get one right
Martinelli?
There?
Yeah, literally
exactly.
Martinelli.
So why couldn't Kyle Walker get one right there?
Because there isn't... Because there's... Because game management, like you're not gonna do that.
No, that's a stretch. No, to a red card.
Letter of the law. It would have been stupid.
Oh,
but would anybody,
if it happened, it
would
been.
Anybody on the planet be upset at Kyle Walker getting a red card there?
Oh no, I'd eat that shit up. Oh, I'd love
it. Oh, we'd
it.
Fucking.
Like, it'd be funny.
Love that.
But
we'd
that happened,
slowly becoming my most hated player.
Wow, what a fucking cunt.
Nah, that'll always be Bruno. Don't worry.
Oh, Pep is losing his mind as well. I watched his post-match press conference. I don't know if they're all that, like, insane, but just the way he talks is, like...
Oh, no, he's a psycho. You can tell something's wrong, dude.
He's always been a psycho, but right now he's, like, he's on the edge.
He's losing.
Pep Guardiola to the mental asylum. Here we go. Like, it's...
Do you think he'll ever want to... If it keeps going bad for Manchester City.
Like, if this 1-11 becomes, you know, 5-30? No, 5-25?
Yeah, 5-25. If it becomes 5-25.
That's crazy talk, though.
Do you think he'll want to take a step back and
I think anyone would.
Or will the board want to sack him?
Sack him? No. I don't think City are going to sack Pep. I think Pep would leave on his own accord. But I do think there's a point where it gets to Pep is like, I cannot do this anymore.
I don't think so. I think he'll want to bring it to pick it back up. Because if you leave the club after a poor stint, after you've won 6 Premier Leagues and 4 in a row, what does that say to you? What does that say about you as a manager?
No, we're not doing this again. It means nothing. He could leave tomorrow, and my opinion on him
100%. But there'll always be that lingering thought that he left City at their worst. He couldn't bring them back up after bringing them.
No,
back.
Maybe in his mind, but no one's gonna think that.
There would be comments everywhere. There would be Mourinho fanboys everywhere.
Mourinho's in Turkey.
No, 100%.
Mourinho's washed, but...
I'm not saying that Pep is a worse manager than Mourinho. I think Pep is the greatest manager of all time. But the general consensus, if he leaves during this bad run of form, will be that he left his team at his worst.
Yeah.
At their worst.
I mean, that's just a fact, but I don't think it has any, like, forthright of it being a narrative. But fair enough. I understand what you're saying, but...
Oh, bro. So let's say Pep goes. Who replaces him?
We're not doing this. Again, we're not doing this because he's not leaving.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it because, like, I want to.
There's no one available. Who's available?
That was my point.
This is the same narrative with Arteta. That's what I'm saying. That's why, this conversation is just dumb. You're the best manager of all time. We're, like, I don't even want to talk about who should leave, like, or who should replace him because it's just banging your head against a door that it's never going to open.
Like, I can see it, Blake. I don't know. I could fucking see it. Couple more results like this United one where he is, like, visibly fucking distressed. And I don't think any manager would want to stay at that point.
But you said if he want, I can see him leaving. But then he just extended, no?
Yeah, before this, like, crazy loss streak.
Yeah.
So genuinely, I think before Amorim came to United, the plan was Amorim to go to City. Genuinely.
Yeah. Well,
I think the convenience there just makes too much sense.
Right. And he can leave on his own volition. Like, I can see that happening, but I don't, like, see him getting fired. But sure, he can leave. That's a whole different story, though.
Yeah. Like, he's definitely not getting fired. Like, we could definitely agree on that. Like, that'd be disrespectful to him. I think there's a lot of players there that need replacing before Pep goes. And there's no one really that you would viably replace him with anyway. So it'd be dumb by City. Will they have to be put in that position if Pep decides to leave? Maybe. Yeah. And I think those conversations have been had. And they might come up again. But anyways, we will see. Let's move on, lads, because it's been 33 minutes talking about the Manchester clubs. And as much as my dad is enjoying this, let's move to the other games that have been noteworthy this week. Man City also lost 2-0 to Juventus, which in any other week would be, like, crazy relevant. Shout out McKinney. Shout out Vlahovic.
Yeah.
Is that who scored? Yeah. Shout out those two. But we don't have time to touch on that game, do we? Yes, that scissor kick. That was, like, crazy. Did you guys see Angry Ginge's reaction to that game, watching it live?
I didn't, no.
Oh my god. So he hasn't watched Juventus in, like, 10
oh,
years.
Oh, I did.
Chiellini!
What a save, Buffon!
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Arsenal in the Champions League first, and then obviously the Everton game. Bro. Blake, How you feeling, man?
Yeah, we won the Champions League. And you know what? Fuck the Champions League.
Whoa.
You what?
We won in the Champions League.
Okay.
You left out a word there.
I think, yeah, I think you forgot the end there.
No, I said one in the Champions League. Like, relax.
I don't know.
We're feeling both.
Dude, I don't even care because we didn't finish our chances.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I knew this was going to be a tough game against Everton because I watched that game. Everyone missed their chances. We scored 3 goals. Yeah, because we fucking dominated the shit out of them, but they actually tried to attack a little bit. So they didn't totally play a low block. Then we go into Everton, they play a low block, and then everyone fucking can't score because I've been saying this for how long? No one can score besides Saka. Kai Havertz doesn't score unless he's forced by the ball. Martinelli is goddamn terrible right now. We have no options off the bench. Oh, this team isn't good, guys. They're not good. Like, they're not good.
Yeah, it should have been at least like 6-0 against Monaco, if we're being honest.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why I was so disheartened going into the Everton game because I could just see it coming.
Oh. Everton's a bogey team for you guys too over the years. Oh,
yes, usually, but oh my god, like I don't understand what's wrong with this team right now. Like they're so inconsistent, and their inability to score is like really getting to them. The defense has looked better as of late. 2 clean sheets in a row obviously doesn't hurt, but I don't know. Their inability to score is just really concerning. Like. I also don't love the fact that Arteta took off Odegaard. Like, I thought he should have kept Odegaard on and brought on Wanneri. Odegaard was having a bad game, but still, I just didn't totally understand that. But
he's still one of those players where at any point of the game, if you're having a bad game, you can switch it on and he can win you the game. So,
So, and then we look ahead, which I know 6 weeks ago, I was like, let's not look ahead because we just got to keep, we just got to win every game. But then we suck now. So I'm looking ahead. Like I said, we now have the same amount of wins as we do games where we drop points. We dropped 10. In 10 games, we dropped points last season. There's only 10 games. We're already 80% of the way through that. Guys, this is not good. This is terrible. Like, we'll and you guys look at me and you go, oh, you're overreacting, overreacting. No, City or Liverpool literally dropped points. City have been losing this whole time. The last 2 years, we've been fighting with the best team in the world to ever exist. To win a title, and we've come short in 2 years in a row. And then now, finally, they've fallen off, and they're losing, and they're capitulating, and Liverpool drops points, and we still cannot capitalize. And you look at me, and you guys have the fucking nerve to look at me and go, you're overreacting. No, I'm not overreacting. We didn't fast-track this whole rebuild just to, in December, be 6 points back with a game in hand for Liverpool. That's not where we should be right now. And you look at me like I'm insane for saying that this is, this is embarrassing to go 0-0 against Everton. No, it kind of is. You have to win that game if you're the team that you say you are, but they're not this season. So
if the confidence meter of you winning the league was like 33% last week, it's sitting at 25 now. I think it's taking a big hit this week.
Nah, it's like 5, lad.
Oh.
This is why we say these things. Like, this is why we say you're delusional. Like you might look back at the end of the season and be like, yeah, it was 5 at this point in the season, and rightfully so, I was right. But it shouldn't be 5 right now. There's still more than half of the Premier League to be played. You guys have a very decent squad, one of the best in the Premier League, one of the best backlines, one of the best center back partnerships in the Premier League, one of the best midfields in the Premier League, and the offense just isn't clicking right now. If you make a couple January signings, one or two, which
we're not going to. He literally said we're not going to.
If you make it, you have to. If you actually don't, then it's a failure.
But
if you make one or two, or let's just say one January signing, you will be fine. You will be in the title race come February, March.
Look at this, bro. You're 6 points back, but Liverpool have a game in hand, so that could be 9 points. That's not good. That's really not good. And again, Blake, I told you this last week. The thing is, obviously, the Arteta out is nonsense, but... Bro, your transfer window. Your fucking transfer window. I think if you guys don't fucking step it up, if not in January, next summer, you guys are going to quickly become like the Tottenham of 2017, where you always seemed like one really good player away and it disintegrates in front of you before you realize it. So, yeah.
Yep.
On the flip side, I think this lead, you can catch back up. This, like, if we look at the La Liga, for an example. Barcelona were the same amount of points up with the equal on games with Real Madrid, and now look at Real Madrid already back up at the same level as them. It takes 3 weeks, 4 weeks to be back up, and then in 4 weeks, if that happens, Blake, you'll say, "Oh, wait, we might actually win this," and suddenly the 5% goes to 70%.
I can guarantee you there isn't a point in this Premier League season that I think we will win the title. Unless it is game 38 and we are up like 4-0 in the game. That's it.
Oh my God. No,
because I'm not doing this, guys. You don't understand. I watched this team be shit. I watched this team be kind of good. I watched this team become second in recent years and in years past. I know them. I know them. And I know they're different now.
Right now, I see what you mean. I see what you mean 100%. But
it's Champions League or bust, lads. Like it's what it's looking like. It's what it's looking like.
Champions League.
And yeah, and it's gonna be bust. It's gonna be bust. So.
So what again? Like Antoine said, at what point do we start questioning Arteta?
Bro, never.
Is there? I don't want you to leave out any names. Consider Pep. Consider anybody you want. Is there a manager on earth that can win the league with these players?
That can. Arteta can. The fuck? He proved it last season. It's not his fault that the best manager with the best team ever that just won a treble the year before.
Well, I mean, week by week, it seems like he can't. So
no, it you seems just like Martinelli you're giving can't.
Me. You're giving me reasons that he can't.
No, how? If Pep wasn't in this league, we would have had two back-to-back titles.
Yeah, he was.
Exactly. you can't tell me that he's not the right man for the job when we were a point behind the best team ever just a year ago. Like, we're not doing that. We're not having that conversation. And again, it's the players. Like, I don't think Arteta's choices in that game were particularly right or good, but at the same time, I don't know what he's supposed to do when the players don't score. Like, I know it is his job to find a way past that and to, you know, get the most out of his guys and figure out a system that, you know, might need some changing to get goals in the back of the net. But like playing Martinelli on the left wing is like a death sentence. He just puts his head down and run. Trossard hasn't been doing anything different either. And then other than that, there's no one else scoring. Odegaard lost his touch in front of the net too. He missed like two huge chances in the Everton game in the first half. Mm-hmm. I can't put that on him. But anyway,
I didn't see the Everton game as you guys just not finishing your chances. I thought the performance just in general was a little bit lackluster. Like
I agree, really, but I'm saying Odegaard had a couple chances, but usually you at least, I don't know, you think you put a little more on them and they just
yeah. Again, stats aren't everything, but you had 1.22 XG. It's not like you know deserve to lose this game. You definitely dominate Everton if you at least look at the possession and the chances created, but there wasn't many chances going around. It wasn't a fun game to watch, was it?
No.
And you contrast that with Liverpool, who, sure, of course, like drew as well, and we should, you know, talk about that. That shouldn't go remiss. But then they fought back twice to come back. Like they seem to have like a whatever a dog in them, whatever. And then most importantly, Chelsea right now have won at least 5 in a row, I think. They're handling their team. Sure, the fixtures are easy, but it's looking fucking scary.
I'm not scared of Chelsea. No, okay. I'm not scared.
Like, what's the possibility of that? If Arsenal's 5%, what's Chelsea?
Like probably like they're probably like 5-2.
So Liverpool is 90, or does City get another 5?
Okay, I didn't really think of that, but like, I think Liverpool could, like, if they're not terrible at their jobs, they should run away with this. Like, it's so easy. Like, they should run away with this. Like, they have the pedigree, they have the talent, they have the young guys who haven't won it either. Like, they should run away with it.
Interesting.
Not saying that we should follow these, but the odds on betting platforms have Chelsea second favorites. Just above Arsenal right now.
Mm.
They're not winning the title. If they win the title, I'll eat my words, but they're not winning shit.
No, I agree. I don't think they're going to win. But
would you rather them win the title than City or Liverpool?
No, you would take Chelsea, bro. Come on.
Over.
Yeah, I guess. Black. Yeah. I take guess, yeah. But I see it's like it's all fun and games when they're like not good. And I'm like, oh, they're cute. They're winning on the side. But now that they're like, like my dad texts me.
An actual
like,
threat to you, then it starts getting.
Like my dad's like, haha. He texted me yesterday. He's like, haha, Cucurella scored. And I was like, okay, well, now we're getting a little. And I was getting a little too serious.
Fucking Cucurella, bro. Yeah. My God. Shall we move on to Liverpool or Chelsea?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Little 2-2 draw at Anfield. Tied to Fulham.
I didn't, I'll be honest. I was like flipping, but I didn't totally watch this one because it was on the same time.
No, I didn't totally either. But they go 1-0 down through an Andres Pereira goal. Shout out. And then Andy Robertson gets sent off. And then you're just fighting from there.
Also, I want to say again, I know I said that Liverpool were going to win the game when they had the red card, but I knew they weren't going to lose. That's all I'm going to say. And once again, I think I deserve a little flowers because I was right. Because I know I'm a fucking genius is what I'm telling
you. You can just say, though, the thing is, you can just say these things on the group chat and like five of them will miss. And then the one that'll hit you, like, I'm fucking genius.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Shoot or shoot. Shoot or shoot.
Unbelievable.
My God.
Yeah. So remember when I said that Salah would have like an off year? That was crazy.
I thought so too, bro. But then he got his hair transplant.
Yeah.
And then hair transplant, and he looks like a different player now.
This is so off topic. Do you guys ever watch? Like, do you guys still watch FIFA YouTube at all?
No.
Because there's this. Do you know hashtag Harry though, right? Okay. Yeah. So now he has this thing called hashtag House, and I guess like. I don't know. It's they kind of have like they do one video every Sunday. It's kind of like Sidemen, but they do like big like FIFA challenges. And there's two other people. One of them's name is Shari, and he just got a hair transplant. It's great. Like to put it on while you're sleeping or late at night. They're like an hour long video, hour and a half long video. Fucking class. They're so entertaining. They're good.
Nice.
He's got a hair transplant. That's why it came in my mind. Anyway,
that's the connection to me. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Liverpool's performance over the weekend. Proves why they probably will win the league. Being down a man and still being so attacking and
still
not
being the better team,
not taking a loss for an answer.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Yeah,
me too.
But I also said the fall off was coming in Liverpool too. I literally said they were.
Wait, this is not. I don't think this is a fall off. I don't think this is a fall off. I don't think.
No,
they
I know. I just said
they didn't perform badly.
There's going to be a couple of games where they drop points, like undoubtedly. Of course. And that's where in other seasons, City would capitalize. But now it doesn't seem like dropping points will be that threatening to them just because City's not, you know, not doing very well.
No.
Yeah.
I agree. Actual percentage that they win the league. What do we think?
It's nearing
like 60.
Yeah, getting close. Getting close to 65, 70, you know. Game in hand.
Yeah.
Tough fixtures are gone for the most part.
Here's my thing. If Chelsea had a little more experience in their team, I think it would be a little more realistic to catch them. And if Arsenal were at this same point, 6 points back with a game in hand for Liverpool, but Arsenal were playing better football and I just like could see what was happening and it was more of an uplifting sign. Then I would genuinely say it's like a third. Like I genuinely say Arsenal has a 30% chance to come back. But Liverpool are looking unstoppable and no one looks good enough to catch them as of that.
Bro, if Arsenal don't win the league, you know how embarrassing that is?
Okay.
Like this like you guys, like you said, you guys should have won the league back to back if it wasn't for the like one of the best teams in history. And now that the 1 year that they've fallen off now, you're going to lose to two teams that have new managers and unstable squads and players that might just leave in the summer to Saudi, players that we were calling wash a couple months ago. Yeah, Liverpool are fucking fantastic this year. Chelsea look great too. But the fact that you guys aren't capitalizing on this golden opportunity with City not being City, This should have been your year. This should have been your year. And the fact that it well might not be, that's heartbreaking.
And then you guys have the fucking nerve to look at me and go,
oh, you're overreacting. It's one game, Blake. Calm down. Yeah, I fucking know, Julian. I know we should win this league, and we're not going to. Yeah, it is heartbreaking. It's embarrassing. It's everything you want to call it. But also, kudos to, again, this rebuild, realistically, rebuilds do not take as little as it took for Arteta to get us to where we are now. So we probably should have been competing by like maybe this year, if we're being honest.
But bro, but then you call your rebuild short. Look at Liverpool and look at Chelsea. Like, look how quick
whoa. We're not giving Liverpool the same rebuild time as Arsenal here. They were like, we're
sure,
not
it's
doing
not
that.
A rebuild, but no, you can let, you let can call manager, it a retool.
No,
that's significant. No. Nobody expected Liverpool to be at this point this quickly with Arne Slot. A lot of people were calling for them to not even make top four. And in Chelsea's case, this is even more drastic. So like the one team out of those three you would have expected to actually be at this point fighting to win the league is Arsenal. If you told me at the start of the year that City was going to fall off this badly, I would have said Arsenal's, it's theirs to lose. And the fact that you're not even, the fact that you're third in a two horse race at this point.
Are you rage baiting? Are you rage baiting? Because like a week ago, you were like, oh, we're giving Chelsea too much credit because it took them, they spent a million billion pounds and now you're making them, oh, the rebuild's here right now. Pick a side. Liverpool, there's no way you're comparing the Arteta project to what Liverpool had to deal with. That's so different. You can compare the Arteta project to what Jurgen Klopp had to deal with Liverpool. But if you want to tell me that Arne Slot going into a Liverpool team with a front line of Luis Diaz, Mohamed Salah, Darwin Nunez, Szoboszlai, like, we're not doing that, guys. We're not comparing those two situations. With the back line of Van Dijk and Konate and Alisson and the two fullbacks, like, we're not comparing this. That's ridiculous. That's blasphemous if you want to do that. And sure, maybe
you finish ahead of the same team.
But don't
year.
You fucking dare.
And you're supposed to be the one on the up.
Don't
supposed
you
to be the one
dare,
on the down.
Don't you dare compare 1 year of Arne Slot with a team that had so much talent in it already, and sure, he's getting the most out of them. He's doing great. Don't compare it to what Arteta had to deal with David Luiz, Pablo Mari, and 70-year-old Petr Cech in net. Don't fucking
talk
to me
about
that.
About that.
You just
about
did.
Your current squad. We're talking about your current squad that finished above this Liverpool team last season and is expected to be better this year.
Yeah, but you're trying to say about Arne Slot coming in and Arteta. That is your point. That's the whole reason why we're talking about this. And I said
I'm saying
completely different.
That the fact that Arne is, of course, bro, of course. But I'm saying the point that you guys are in 2024, like, Arteta should be above where Arne Slot is.
Sure.
You should. That's not a crazy point.
I've been agreeing with you this whole time. I've been agreeing with you since the moment we dropped points in our third game or whenever it was. And I said it was over. And you guys laughed at me. But look,
because that was an overreaction at the time, mate.
No, but I saw the signs,
now,
bro.
The Everton game is a little bit, this is a signal. This knocks the confidence a lot. Even like, for me, who's been high on you guys this year. Of course. Like, am I clip farming a little bit? Maybe. Yeah, I am. But there's truth in my words here. Like, this is fucking embarrassing for you guys.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean. This team is, they're not good, guys. Like, I keep saying it. I don't think they're good this year. In the Champions League, maybe, because it's a whole different game. But
like,
in the
bro,
league,
the title,
we're not
the
good.
title race this year is going to be between two leagues that couldn't even make top four this season before last.
Okay, stop clip farming, bro. Like, I get it. Like, it's okay.
That won't
you
be in the
clip.
That's just the genuine. That's just the genuine thought I have.
No, because we're still in a fucking title race, Julian. Like, fuck, we're not that far behind.
You wouldn't think so with the words you're saying.
Hey, like, finally admitted that you're
like Jesus. Last year, you actually came to the pod. You were like, you had full acceptance you were going to win the league. You're like, you know what, guys, football is actually fun these days because like, I can just sit and relax because I know we're not going to win the league.
Incorrect. Oh wait. Oh, last week. At least said last year. Yes, you are.
No, last week.
We're still in a title race, I guess, but I don't think we're gonna win it. So that's why
you just said I know we're not gonna win it, so I'm actually enjoying the football. Well, clearly not.
Yeah, because I thought I hoped we wouldn't draw against Everton. Like, fuck.
No, I get the delusion. Like sometimes when United's playing well, I'm like, fucking top four, here we come. Like, look at your friend there. Like the delusion is easy to get wrapped up in. Believe me. And you guys genuinely can still win the league. Like, City were in your same position this time last year, but the difference is you're not City.
Yeah.
Like, the thing I don't is know though, if you guys can win 15 games in a row.
Yeah, true. But you guys talked about the whole recruitment thing. Arteta literally said, he's like, I sent it to the group chat, said I'm not expecting it to be busy this summer or this winter.
No.
Which, again, it never is. It's always hard. But, like, Why don't we just spend big? Like at this point, I don't even care. Yeah. Just get whoever. Like get someone who can score.
Like, if Arteta goes to the board and is like, listen, like if we just take our projected summer budget and just use a little bit in the winter here, just count it as that, then like we need it now. We need it now.
Yeah. And also, you still have a sporting director, so it's tough to really make a call.
It will be tough. That is true as well.
I'll get big signings, you know?
I mean, there's definitely people that, there's still people there.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's something
you have a guy managing the whole thing. It's probably way easier than people that aren't as qualified to do it.
No, for sure. But anyway, I guess we'll see. Who do we have next week? I don't even know.
I can pull it up right here.
Oh my God. The striker market is very...
We play Palace 2 games in a row. Like, oh my God.
You win both. I don't see a reason why you shouldn't.
Okay.
I don't know what he's cooking, but
I have no idea.
There you go. All
right. If there's no nine, if there's not 9 points between December 18th and January 1st, there's a real problem.
Lads, I can see a situation where it's 4.
Come on, bro. You're playing Palace, one of the worst teams in the Premier League this year.
They just won.
Yeah, but still one of the worst. If you're trying to defend a draw to Palace, you know there's a problem.
I'm not defending shit. I'm saying we are shit.
Hey, bro, Selhurst Park is tricky. I've been telling you guys.
Bro,
I told y'all Selhurst Park was tricky, and Brighton learned this week. Was it at Selhurst Park? I don't know. Palace.
Why are we trying to find a different alternative than 9 points out of these 3 games here?
I'm not saying anything less than 9 points is acceptable. I'm just saying I don't have confidence in this team right now.
Oh, that FA Cup on January 12th, that's going to be good. Oh, we will be there.
I don't even care. They can win that. I don't give a shit. I actually do not care about the FA Cup.
Yes, we do. Yes,
no,
you
I
do.
Don't.
Mate, yes,
no,
you should. Yes, you no, should.
I
How?
I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, come on. You should. It's a trophy. Because,
yeah, and if we win it, no one fucking moves. No, it doesn't move the needle. It doesn't move the needle at all.
It's a trophy. You guys should still be going for the trophy, dude. You guys should still be going for a trophy.
Sure, I don't
it doesn't
care.
Mean you could... take. It doesn't mean you take attention off of the Champions League or the league, but it's a fucking trophy. Go for the trophy.
It's like I just don't have any.
Like you asked me. You asked me if winning the FA Cup last year changed for United, like changed the narrative for United, and I said no, but I actually thought about it more. Like, yeah, it actually did change the narrative because Ten Hag would have been sacked if we didn't win the FA Cup. So that absolutely changed the narrative. My feeling going to the summer for United, like, would have been way different if we lost that game against City. Like, so yeah, I think it absolutely changed the perception for us. And just the feeling, like how reactionary and how vile you Arsenal fans can be, ending the season off with winning the FA Cup, and you can't deny it, will just make you feel so much better through the summer.
100%.
100%.
You'll be high off that FA Cup win, and then you'll go into next
season. Exactly. You wouldn't have the idiots going like, Arteta out, enough is enough.
If the opportunity is presented to you, you're just not taking it? Like, come on.
Well, obviously, I want to win it, especially more than the EFL Cup. But at the same time, it doesn't move the needle for Arteta. I don't think it does. Like, everyone's still going to look at him and say that he hasn't won the title, hasn't won the league. The whole thing about how, like, United have won more titles than Arsenal in the Arteta era, like, that means nothing to me. Like, it means literally nothing to me. Because it doesn't. Like, if we're
again, the FA Cup thing, the Arsenal FA Cup record does matter. So if we can add to that, sure. But we should be adding to that as supplementary to our already fantastic performance in the league and the Champions League. It shouldn't be like something that saves the season.
My thing is, I agree with you.
100%.
Yeah, like I agree with you, Blake. But then again, like history books don't remember performances. You know what I'm saying? Like at some point, you're going to need trophies to back up Arteta's success and the narrative around that. But and I think an FA Cup would like not crazy move the needle. It wouldn't like cement Arteta's legacy and like Arsenal manager history. But like just the feeling and the narrative, I think it would help you a lot. Anyway, for our audio listeners that can't see your screen, Arsenal's next three Premier League games until January 1st are Crystal Palace away, Ipswich at home, and Brentford away. And Blake is saying 4 points.
Like genuinely, I can see 7. I think they'll probably get 7. It should be 9. Should be 9, but I think 7.
Who does the draw come with, Tim?
Brentford. Absolutely. Yeah.
Brentford are actually one of the best teams in the league at home, to be fair. The G-Tech is actually a fortress.
Yeah, it is.
But that's not a fucking excuse. You'd be winning anyways, bro.
Guys, you keep saying excuse. I'm not excusing shit. I'm just saying what's going to happen. Like, fuck. I'm not excusing anything.
Speaking of Brentford, do you guys see the girl that has an apartment with a view of the G-Tech stadium?
No.
And she makes like TikToks about it. Like she just opens up her bedroom blinds.
That is
and
awesome.
Just watch the game. That's she amazing. Said like guys have tried dating her just to get a
valid.
Brilliant.
The games.
Brilliant.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Hey, can we hang out at 12:30? And I'm just gonna come in a Brentford kit. Like don't mind me here.
I got some plans after too. I think I have to go after.
Yeah. But literally, she got interviewed for it because it's like it's genuinely like a gripe in her life. I don't know what kind of first world problems that lady's going through, but like,
yeah,
that's the kind of problems I want to have.
You should be grateful.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Anywho. Shut up, Brentford.
Do we get everything in the Prem? I mean, we could just give more love for Chelsea, I think, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of the same. Speaking of Brentford, Chelsea with a 2-1 win. I would have preferred more of a dominant win, Chelsea, with
Palmer, yeah, and Jackson. Yeah,
with Palmer as my captain. And just
for the FPL,
well.
100%.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
Yeah. We need to talk about Mark Cucurella's entire week.
Oh, yeah. What did he do in the game again?
Starts off against Tottenham. Slips twice to give 2 goals to go down.
In his new boots, by the way.
In his new boots, right?
Yeah.
Then they come back. I think he gets an assist in one of the goals. He gets a partnership with Puma. Talking about, I don't know if he had it already, but he gets the partnership.
I have it up here. Okay,
Let me see this.
Here. Puma posts perfect response to Marco Gorella throwing boots in the bin.
There you go.
And it says, where is it? They had like a tagline where it's like coming back
it's
from the slip.
It's not how you slip, it's how you get back up. That's what it
exactly.
Was.
Here it is.
That's good.
This is so good.
So yeah, so they post this. Puma posts this. It's not how you slip, it's how you bounce back. Then against Southampton, scores the first goal and then gets sent off in the last minute.
Mark freaking Cucurella, bro.
What a week.
I was going to bring him into my FPL team. Thank God I didn't.
Yeah.
Because just the bipolarness of him is crazy. Anywho, shout out Chelsea, man.
And then I guess just quickly, the two managers got sacked.
Yes. Yeah. Wolves, man. Wolves is a fucking problem.
But dude, Cunha scored.
I said
so Cunha scored, yes.
But, you know, that's my guy.
For Gary O'Neill? Who?
For Gary, bro.
Yeah, me too.
He's Premier League proven. I think he was making the most out of a poor Wolves squad, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure any other manager can do a better job with that squad.
Well, if you just look at their transfer history, like they've been selling off all their best guys for years now. Years.
Yeah.
With Mateus Nunes, with Pedro Neto, that's only just the last two windows. And they bring in Mateus Cunha, of course, but like I'd bet my fucking house that they sell him in the summer. Same with Ait Nouri. If they don't get relegated this year, they probably will next season just because this Wolves board's been acting really weird. They're linked with some manager in Brazil at the moment. I wouldn't take
that
job.
They're linked to Vitor Pereira. I have it here.
Yeah.
They got to keep it Brexit.
Corinthians manager?
Sorry?
Corinthians manager?
Corinthians manager right now. He he was brought up in the Premier League 2 years ago when Everton were looking for a manager. He's known as the guy that was basically begging to get into the Everton, like to manage Everton.
Begging, bro.
His CV is this Brazilian team. He managed Porto for 2 years in 2011. Then he went to Saudi Arabia. I guess you can know why he went to Saudi Arabia. He did Fenerbahce, 1860 Munich, Shanghai. Mm.
Oh, wow.
It went back to Fenerbahce, Corinthians, and now he's in, Corinthians in 2022 it was.
So he's been around.
Al Shabab right now. Al Shabab.
Nice.
But yeah, he's known as like this explosive, intense manager. He's very cocky from what I saw. I mean, he got interviewed. He was defending himself against the angry Everton fans that wanted Frank Lampard in 2022, saying my CV speaks for itself. My career so far has been a big journey and I'm in love with the beautiful football. I really believe my next move will be a top league in the world. That was 2 years ago, and he's in Brazil now. So yeah, definitely cocky. I don't know his playing style, but if he goes in the Premier League, I mean, I think he's used to managing Portuguese speaking players, so Wolves would be a decent fit for him, I think.
Fair.
Corinthians they're sitting like seventh in the Brazilian league. Yeah. The Brazilian league just finished up, actually. So it'd actually be perfect timing. But they're not, you know, setting the world alight in Brazil, in it. So.
Fair.
We'll see. But that'd be interesting. I think that'd be fun. But I think that just the Wolves job in general, I don't care who goes there. I think it's a poison chalice, honestly. I can't see anybody succeeding.
Bring in they have Diggs really and tough. Paradise.
Yeah, they have Leicester in their next game.
I was
going to
say, I think
Rude.
They got to stay Brexit. They got to stay Brexit.
Not even Gary O'Neill was not Brexit. They're not staying Brexit.
Well, no, I mean, I just mean English. Not Brexit. I just mean English.
Oh, okay, well.
I don't mean Brexit ball. I just mean English. I'm sorry.
Graham Potter, maybe?
Like, yeah. That's what I mean.
That wouldn't be bad. Like, he plays, like, similar formation
and still
or
not,
system.
Yeah,
to,
not,
to
and also not, like, not Brexit football either.
And he needs a redemption, too. He needs a redemption.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. This would look really good for Graham Potter.
I also think Gary O'Neill will have a good career. He's only 41. Like, he just stopped playing in 2018.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think he'll have a very good
for
career.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the head loss from the Wolves players at the end of the game? Wow.
I didn't see it either.
You didn't see like Tate Nouri's red card. You didn't see Cunha stripping the glasses off that the one guy that was so funny.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Generational head loss.
Screwed my FPL up, but it was funny.
I'm looking out for a Cunha ban. If that happens,
he's a gun.
A hit to sell him.
I think both the Wolves players are gone. When you don't have a manager, doesn't matter the form you're in, I think they count on
that. Yeah, I mean, Aiden Nouri's already a sell. I mean, if we're talking FPL right now, Aiden Nouri's already a sell, already been sold. Cunha's he has Leicester next, so maybe. But if I don't sell him this week, it'll be next week. Because then after that, the fixtures get rough.
Yeah, I only brought him in for that green patch, you know?
Yeah. Anywho. In other world news... Oh, Tottenham won 5-0. Russell Martin got sacked. That's the other one.
Mm-hmm. We don't need to talk about that. Those shitties.
See ya, mate. He was talking shit about United last week, so good fucking riddance. Oh, by the way, did you guys see Aaron Ramsdale on the broadcast covering Southampton's 5-0 loss?
No.
W, bro. How the fuck is that allowed, bro? Yeah, some dead serious, bro.
Why was he doing
that? That's insane. I think he's injured or something. Like I don't really remember. But then he was on the
his old team taking a 5-0.
But then he was on the desk as an analyst analyzing his own team. And after the game, he said he was on TV saying like, "Oh, you know, we need to look in the mirror and there needs to be like some hard home truths." Like, how the fuck are you allowed to say that about your own team?
What does football come to?
Obviously, like the state of the media, bro. It's like, what are we?
I can respect an old player that played for the club coming back and covering it.
Yeah, lads, look at this. Here, I can share it right now.
Under contract, dude.
Like,
oh my god,
Aaron Ram,
W, like, my boy. You like shit, dude.
Like, obviously, we didn't know that it'd be like a 5-0 loss. So obviously, this is a very like you know, tough position to be in. But why the F is TNT Sports bring him on anyways? Like, this is why you don't do this.
I mean, it's
bad enough with former players, but, like, boys.
Also, him saying you need to look in the mirror, that's not, like, a terrible thing. Like, people say that when they come off of terrible losses. I don't think that's outlandish.
Yeah, if I think there'll be some home truths is the worst quote, then I don't think he did that bad. But just putting him in this position, like, why are you doing this, TNT? This should be a lesson.
Nah, he's just a character. He's just lovable, man. I just love him.
I don't know, bro.
I love him to death. I love him to death. I would, yeah.
Yeah. Anywho. Let's actually move on. Some other Champions League games included Dortmund losing to Barcelona. Ferran Torres with, like, one of the worst braces I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's not very liked in Barcelona. So.
He's, like, the best worst player I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
He kind of left City in a weird way, kind of claimed that within a few years he was going to be the best player in the world. That time has now come, and he's Ferran Torres.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw his winning goal against Dortmund,
yeah.
But it was really funny because he gets played through by Yamal, and then, like, he's on his right foot. All he has to do is touch and shoot far post, but his first touch is, like, way behind him. So, like, he's way through on goal, but that first touch fucks him up. So he has to, like, stop in his tracks. The defender almost catches up with him, and then he still gets a clean strike to the far post and scores. So, yeah, lucky man. But yeah, man. Barcelona look good in the Champions League, but not good in La Liga. They had another loss. It's their third time in four games losing points.
They lost to a newly promoted team, Leganés,
who scored early.
Yeah, they scored early and just sat low block, basically. That's the story. Yeah. But there's a problem with Barcelona and La Liga. They don't have a connection.
Like, this is the, like, Barca, they've had some off performances in the past few weeks, but Leganés wasn't one of them. They had so many chances in this game.
Yeah. And, like, you would expect that, right? You would expect against the low block to get a lot of chances.
Oh my!
I think there's a lack of connection in Barcelona, in La Liga at least. That's what I see. It's just that final touch, that finishing product. And now Lamine Yamal's out for another month with an ankle injury. Atletico Madrid, we need to talk about, are going to be leaders of La Liga in their neck if they win their next game. So it's real alarming for Barcelona because you were 6-7 points ahead at some point, and now you're going to be 1 point down. Atletico and Real Madrid are sniffing your tail as well. So,
Atletico play Barca next.
Yeah. So whoever wins that game is going to be fun. Yeah.
Robert Lewandowski alone in this game accrued 1.6 xG.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So the team altogether got, like, 3 xG, 80% possession. So this wasn't a terrible performance where they just didn't have the final ball. This was just, like, you know, chance after chance missing. And
they got what they deserved
in that sense. But yeah.
They were up against the wall.
I need to watch that game, that Atletico-Barca game. I need to.
Where are your kid, Blake?
Atletico, they started very poor. They started the campaign very poor.
They started so bad, yeah.
But now they're picking it back up. I would love to see Atletico win another game.
When I was in my prime FIFA days, and, like, I actually would, like, follow a bunch of different teams, when Atletico would always come up short in the league, and, like, remember when they made it to the final of the Champions League? Oh, my God, it broke my heart when Real Madrid beat them. Broke my heart, bro.
I would love to see Atletico win the league just for Griezmann. You know,
He's never won the league with them?
Never won La Liga in his career.
Wow,
When he went to Barcelona, Atletico Madrid won the league. Then he went back to Atletico Madrid. Went back to Atletico Madrid, and then Barcelona won the league. So he's never won La Liga.
Oh, poor guy.
For such an impressive and flawless in the play type of player.
Flawless is crazy.
He's one of the most underrated players. Never talked about in our generation, seriously. And to have that type of career and not win La Liga would be criminal.
No bias in there, Antoine.
If you take a step back and you look back on his career, just off the stats alone, without showing any, you would think he's one of the best players of all time.
Okay.
Anyways.
It's like if you showed Giroud's goal to someone, you'd think he'd be the best striker of all time. That's what.
Yeah.
Remember when you said that? Griezmann's career path was a long thing. World Cup winner, played the best in that World Cup. Played, I think he was the best French player in the 2022 World Cup, but that's another conversation in and of itself.
That's fair.
To have a career like that and not win a La Liga would be absolutely criminal. And he needs that. I would love to see them win.
Yeah. And shout out Marco Reus for finally winning a league title with LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Did you see the video of him at the trophy tour? Give me the fucking mic.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He's like,
we are
I'm
fucking
happy for
champions,
him.
Guys.
Oh, I'm happy for him. And honestly, I love that because, like, I didn't follow the MLS playoffs at all because once gifts were out of it, I just didn't care. But it's like this league is starting to, especially in the bigger teams in America, like it's like the LAs and the even like this, even random teams like Nashville and Austin, like you get a good turnout and it's like a decent viewing experience. So I'm happy for,
especially with a lot of them getting like actual soccer stadiums now.
Yeah.
Just like the whole vibe and the atmosphere.
Anyways. Yeah, no, I agree.
You good there, Blake?
Yeah. Sorry. My dog just made some random noises.
All right. Real Madrid won. No, did they win?
Yeah, they won.
No, they drew.
They drew. No,
they drew
about,
to. Oh, to Rio. They drew to Rio.
That's not what Champions League. Yeah, they drew to Rio.
I haven't watched the highlights
down,
of this game.
They were down 2-0, and then they got saved by Valverde and Bellingham. And then Vinicius scored what looked like to be the winner, but they got scored on at the end there.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. I know.
I know you know Palazón, Blake, from FIFA. I know you know.
I do.
Backed him a couple times for sure.
Yep. All right, Drew, you want to take us away to the segment that you can use the new feature on?
Yes. But there's one more thing we should talk about first. I have to be nice to you as well, Anthony.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about this. How did I forget about this?
Let's talk PSG.
Look, convincing win. I don't want to talk about the Champions League game because it should have been a win and we won, rightfully so. But this game, Lyon this season are one of the more entertaining teams in Liga. Obviously, they were hit with that provisional relegation, but they're playing some really good football. You have Rein Cherki, Ernest Nouama, and a lot of promising attacking players in that team that has been linking up very well. So to come out, this wasn't going to be an easy game.
Nouama has a solid zero goal contributions in his games this year.
No, but the link up play is there, Blake. Malik Fofana is in there too. Mikotadze, obviously one of the better players in the Euros. Started off kind of poor, but picked him back up lately. So yeah, Lyon is a very established team in France, and this game wasn't going to be easy. And let me just say, Désiré Doué lately, since the Champions League, started off very poor. I'm not going to lie. Started the campaign off very poor. It looked to be like a very bad signing. But man, he tore Ainsley Maitland-Niles up.
My boy.
Oh my God. Let me. It was breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Fair play. Yeah,
3-1, very deserved win. Nothing more to say, honestly. Just
how are you feeling overall about PSG?
About what? About Liga or about PSG?
About PSG and everything.
Oh, Liga, you're fine, lad. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, we're fine in Liga. I'm not bothered about that. Dude, I'm fine with how the project is going. But then I look at teams like Liverpool with Arne Slot, Barcelona with Hansi Flick, Bayer Leverkusen with Xabi Alonso, who are managers that have just joined within the past year, and they're soaring. You know what I mean? So there's a bit of jealousy in that, where I want my team to be soaring as well. But then I take a step back and I'm like, okay, it might be one-off cases where they're doing good right now, but then they'll fall off later, or it's just the quality on the pitch is there. So I'm going to trust the process. I don't think there's a couple people that are Enrique out. I think that's ridiculous. Quite frankly, Like I'm hopeful in this team for the next couple of years. I don't think we'll win the Champions League this year. I don't think it's a surprise in saying that. Hopefully we make top 24, which is crazy that I'm even saying that. It might come down to the final game, actually, against Stuttgart.
Mm.
It might be whoever wins that game gets top 24, because Stuttgart are also low. But overall, I'm like at a hopeful stage. That's it.
Cautious optimism?
Cautious optimism. That's great.
There you
That's
go.
Right. That's right. That's exactly how I'm feeling about FPL this year.
Mm.
It's because...
What, because you're getting destroyed, or...?
I'm not getting destroyed, mate. I fucking beat you this week. All right.
Actually, it's not done yet. I still have Fabianski to play.
Fabianski's not bagging 9 points. All right. So,
little pen save and clean sheet plus 3 bonus points. Why not?
Get out of here, bro. Let's talk FPL this week, lads. And it's a weird like placing we have here. Because I don't think we've ever had like. It go Antoine and then Blake and then Miles winning. That's weird. That's really weird.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I won't be lost
this week. I'll tell you that. I think Blake's gonna be lost.
Yeah.
Tell me Fabianski's getting 1 point, dude.
Yeah. Let's start off with the current last place in the league, Mr. Macawani and Cheese. Talk me through your week, my man.
Look, it's actually not my week. I was talking to the manager earlier.
Of course.
Instead, he brought in Trent Alexander-Arnold and Enzo Fernandez for Rico Lewis and Brian Mbeumo. He's a bit disappointed in how that panned out, because Brian Mbeumo did score a goal, which would have brought him more FPL points. But he's hopeful for the future. He's big on holding on to players after the transfer. You know, he's not very reactionary in that if Trent Alexander-Arnold has a bad week, he'll just sell him right on. So he likes the shape of the team. He likes the players in there, and he thinks he can push for top 100K in the next couple of weeks.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, Palmer, captain choice, wasn't really the right one. Isak delivering, Cunha delivering. João Pedro, a little bit on fraud watch, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely on fraud watch, yeah.
And then Gabriel, finally back. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Moving on to third place is... Where's
Mr. Blake. Mr. Badia Shile.
Probable last place this week.
Leave Davis?
I don't know why you're having that reaction. Like, he's...
man, with Anthony Robinson on the bench.
Yeah, against Liverpool, you expected him to get two assists, and he literally got booked. So don't even give me that, because that was just an unlucky situation altogether. I'm not commenting on my team. I have nothing to say.
It's not your team. What's the manager of Mr. Badiashile thinking?
He told me that he has nothing to comment either. There's no comments, because it's about performances on the pitch, and that's it. So look, don't comment. Not from that.
Like, I'm sorry, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. Seriously. What's the wrong rank looking like here?
Bro, it's the same. You do this every week. Like, you're just being a dick now. It's fine. I get it. Yeah, I suck at this game. See, like,
Robertson bench was smart. That turned out well.
Yeah.
Right?
I would have started him. So,
I think anybody would have started him. I don't know how bro lucked into that move,
bro,
but sure.
I knew they were gonna. I was not confident in Liverpool this week, but
that's why you played all your Fulham assets. Yes.
I didn't tell you exactly my. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this, because I literally. Why do you think I put him? I thought it was gonna be a draw, a 1-1 or a 2-2, it was a 3-3. So I
believe in you. No. I'm on your side, bro.
Leaf Davis on from now on.
You just gotta bring in Salah, dude. Like, yes, Salah has to be.
I know.
Like, do like
do Diaz and Smith Rowe for like Enzo and Salah.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. Yeah. Don't worry.
Again, Miles not being here is a big advantage to you, because I won't lie. Because when asked upon, we're probably going to give FPL advice. Yeah. Right?
I just hate this segment, to be honest. It's just not fun for me. So you can just
hasn't
move
been fun
on.
In a while, has it?
Yeah,
third place
for roll of
was
dice.
Roll of the Deitch. It was an interesting week. He's already made, rumor has it, he's already made 3 transfers this week.
I see he's enrolled in the United Stand League.
Yep. Definitely. In the United Stand League, in the United People's TV League, in the Footy Prime League. You are, if anybody knows that podcast, don't leave us for them, please. But most importantly, still a commanding lead over Miles in the 6YB League. Got Palmer wrong. Salah kind of under-delivered due to his standards. Cunha delivered, but might get banned. Jackson delivered. Ait Nouri fucking sucks. He's a sell. Poro's a sell. Who's the other one I sold? And McNeil has been a sell. Actually, here's the team so far. If Cunha gets banned, then he's a sell as well. And we're taking a hit. But yeah. That's what the manager tells me.
Okay.
But yeah.
You on board with that or?
I think I'm on board with it. You know, I'm almost seeing too many similarities between this and the Macawonia and Cheese team.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit of resemblance, maybe like a drone spying on training.
I'm really not liking the meta in this game right now where I'm not able to catch up to you, really. But, you know, captain choice, we got a few differences in our team.
Like, I'm looking at my team here. Mm. Like, seriously. No,
I know. I know.
And players. Nine's love players.
Trent, I brought in Trent. The manager brought in Trent. Brought in Enzo. And brought
in Rico Lewis, huh? Holding on to him? Or?
And brought in Mikalenko. Listen, bro. There's just like... I don't know. I don't think he plays against Villa. Like, I don't know.
Let's move on to the first place.
It'll
be a while till we say that again, actually.
No more Mr. Rice. Yeah. I don't know who he brought in, but just looking at the team, you want difference. This is difference. Watkins in December 2024 is crazy work. Vardy in December 2024 is crazy work. He actually got the captain.
I'll be honest, right? Vardy has been good this whole season. So you guys he's actually been very good this whole season. So that's just casual from you guys.
I know, but like,
No, it's casual for me, guys.
It's definitely not casual.
No, it's casual.
Not an
12 shirt, 4-5-2-0.
For a 5-mil striker, why would you not have him?
Okay, if he's 5-mil, then yeah. I would probably take him over.
Because there's definitely a meta 3 strikers to have right now. Meta 3 or 4. He has one of them. Anyways. Madueke is just weird.
It's bold, but it seems like it's working.
Madueke is weird. Poro, I guess, got a result. Konsa, so weird.
Yeah.
Konsa's weird. Onana and Henderson. I actually don't mind this goalkeeper rotation, but it's weird.
Yeah, I need
and
to
then same thing
mind.
With the Fulham guys. Okay. Yeah. Anywho. Nice Mr. Rice Kai, and that will do the FPL roundup.
Love that.
All right. Let me stop sharing my screen here, and then we could end this podcast, lads. But a good week. How do I...
Lads, oh, God. He's selling, dude.
Wait, no. I went full screen on my monitor here. Wait,
on the top left, it says this little screen share thing. Or top right, sir.
This is great. This is great radio, everyone.
Wait. No. There you go. I got it. Okay. Whew. There you go. All right. That'll do the week, boys. I've enjoyed this. Listen, we're working through the kinks here of StreamYard, but I've been enjoying this setup here. I think we have to see how it works with getting the audio and video to be HD. But yeah, no, I like it. Anyways, lads, it's been a good week of football. We have, I think, League Cup games coming up in midweek, and then Prem. So we'll be here. We'll say like Sunday night or Monday morning next week, and then we'll deliver in the next pod. Looking forward to it, boys. In terms of how remote pods go, I actually didn't mind this one.
No, it was definitely the best one we've done. So
yeah, far. It was good. Good.
Fair enough, boys.
There's no delay in these. I like that.
Yeah.
Because on the FaceTime or on the Zoom, they would all be.
There's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah.
These are cool though.
I haven't minded it. Boys, I hope your Christmas break has been good so far. Next time we talk, it'll be right before Christmas. And yeah, anybody listening, enjoy the football as always. And I'll stop yapping. Blake, take us away.
We are.
See ya. See ya. See ya.